Hello, this is Ian James Corlett, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio. This is episode 83. Last time around, Mike Dodd and I, TF2 and Mike, went into the wrestling ring. This time around, we're doing something completely different. We will have our monthly Mayhem Mike's episode later on in April after the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. But for now, joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And he's been on several of the GCRN podcasts. I don't think he's been on this one, but we have Doug Abel from Talking About My Generation. Hello.
Hello, sir.
And tonight we're here to talk about the unneeded, unwanted, sometimes why the hell are they doing this, remakes, reboots, and sequels.
There's a lot to be said tonight.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, so what, Steve? What are your opinions of remakes in general? Let's say, I don't want to drag it to the superhero realm, but let's just say you've got Superman, Richard Donner's Superman in 78, and then you have Brian Singer's.
You're talking Greek to me because I have no idea what the difference is between the two. Like, I mean, I know.
Oh, all right.
Well, I know the Brian Singer one. I've never watched it. It never.
Oh, bless you.
I'm not a
good on you.
I'm not a fan of Superman. Like, I've watched the old, like, 70s Superman.
Okay. All right.
But I don't know who directed or what the difference is in the cut between the one director and the other director. So.
Oh, no. Superman 1 was not a recut. That was Superman 2.
Okay, that's what I meant. I have no idea what the difference is between the two.
All right. Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man. Because they said Amazing Spider-Man was supposed to be a reboot. What, just generally, your opinions on them remaking a movie in general?
Mean,
what are your thoughts
like
on
how they just finished Batman and they're doing Batman again?
Yeah.
And they gave it less time between the sequels, too, than they did the Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man, so.
True.
I understand it because they were, at the time, they really weren't floor planning them to go beyond the three film, trilogy. Besides with, Batman and with Superman. I mean, those were really the only superhero movies that were out that were worth a damn, and they hit four movies. Not that they needed to, but they did. And then, I mean, in the last 20 years, we've had three Batman reboots.
Mm-hmm.
We've had two Spider-Man reboots.
Working on a third, mind you.
What's that?
They're working on that third one.
Yep, they're working on that third one too. And we've had this will make three different actors for Spider-Man. This will make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different Batmen in the last 20 years. So I mean, it's honestly, I think it's just a waste of time. I understand that they want to have these ongoing franchises and I get that, but there comes a point where you have to have like a beginning, a middle, and an end planned out, and not make it so intertwined with everything. I mean, I'm happy that Batman's at least branching out and he's not just by himself, or Spider-Man's not just by himself. I like that they're kind of intertwining them with the other continuity characters, But again, there needs to be a beginning, middle, end to these characters so that they're not dragging them out for 15 years, wearing them out. I mean, right now, the Hollywood craze is remaking, rebooting, and these giant cinematic universes, thanks to Marvel. Every company is wanting to do this.
Yeah.
And it's going to backfire. There's going to come a point, I mean, and we're the cause of it, and studios are mainly the cause because they see money. We're printing it for them, and they're just like, hey, this must be what they like. Let's do more of it.
Well, and I think that some of that started with, I'm going to say it, the Michael Bay Transformers.
Oh, I agree with
you. You know, I mean, that was really kind of the start of this whole geek onslaught, if you think about it. I mean, there were other things that were remakes before. I mean, how many times do we need to have The Thing remade? How many times do we need to have the Omega Man remade? You know, Omega Man / I Am Legend. Yeah. We didn't really, but we got them. Some of them were better than others. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't necessarily need them. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to say the Ghostbusters reboot. That's one right now we do not need. I do not need to see Melissa McCarthy pulling off or trying to pull off Bill Murray's character, because I know that that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be funny. Nerd rage coming on. Sorry.
Well, you know, I'll say this, and these are less geek-centric films that I'm going to reference here, where I think a remake actually worked, is in Thomas Crown Affair and The Italian Job. Those two films were done... Italian was 60s. I forget when Thomas Crown was. Maybe
60-something as well? Like,
I don't... Yeah, probably. I think, I don't remember. But it's like, you know, and those remakes came out in 99 and 2003, respectively. And I think the problem is that Warner Brothers and DC, to this point, never have ever been able to get on the same page and get their heads out of their asses when it comes to their film universe. Marvel did it right. And, you know, you can blame Marvel all you want to wanting to have a connected universe. I would much rather have a connected film universe than a Batman movie every 10 years.
Oh, so would I. I also like the fact that they've got continuity with the actors with Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, you know, as Steve mentioned, how many fucking Batmans do we need?
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney was probably the worst one, seeing nipples on him.
I mean, it's like Batman, it's like they've tried to make Batman in film James Bond, and it's not cool. Like, I know when the news stories hit about Affleck, and somebody said somewhere on some website that he had some kind of weird 14 appearance deal or something or other. I don't know if that's in all films or if that's whatever.
For who, Affleck?
Yeah.
No.
What was that? There was a
there
news
was
story.
No, that must have been total bullshit, because that was not...
There was a news story about a year or so ago that came out that said he had a deal in place to be Batman at 14 different times, whether that's in film or television or whatever, who knows. But I don't know. I think remakes are hit or miss. This whole Spider-Man thing is just going to be all kinds of screwed up. It really, really is. I mean, you got Marvel and Sony sharing the character. Marvel's going to have their own Spider-Man. So is Sony still going to go with Andrew Garfield now still?
No, they've already said that they're not going to. That's a plus. They've already said it will be a new actor.
For both Sony and Marvel?
That I'm not sure of.
So you're going to have the same actor in both films, but they're going to be two different film plots?
No, it's all going to be connected temporarily. There's a deal in place between Marvel and Sony for Spider-Man mm-hmm. to be in the Marvel universe.
Right.
And should, you know, the end of Spider-Man's story in the universe, however many picture deal that they've got signed up for, mm-hmm. ends, then Sony can do whatever they want and recast and start over. But I don't think it'll end up that way. I think what'll end up happening is Marvel will get the rights back completely at some point. It's just a matter of when. But yeah. Right now they just both have creative control. It's just that Marvel kind of, in a sense, gets more control than Sony because of the deal. But they also have a contingency plan should shit go south. And to refer to your Batman, Ben Affleck comment, he has a multi-picture deal. There's not a set number in place. What you mm-hmm. read was also the same article that stated that Bryan Cranston may have a 6-film deal as Lex Luthor, where it says Ben Affleck is 13 films as Batman. So obviously we know that article's bull.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a year or so ago or whenever it was. It's been a while. I don't know. The superhero remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it,
I've got a better example. Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Do we need a fourth film?
We didn't need a second film.
The second and third film were terrible. And now we're in a fourth film? Why?
Yeah.
Because Star-Lord has to run out with a bunch of raptors.
Well, it's the same reason they're going to reboot Indiana Jones, and they might end up putting him. You didn't know that?
Oh, man, that hurts.
Yeah, they're going to reboot Indiana Jones.
Please tell me not Shia LaBeouf. Please
no, he's out. No. There's rumor mill floating that Chris Pratt, but which I could see, but again, I don't. That's like, to me, he's becoming the Hollywood version of, you know, that reusable, I don't know. It's like a snake in a can. They can't put him back in.
Yeah.
So they just keep, you know, shaking that stick around. It's what they've done with Benedict Cumberbatch. And I wish that they could shove him back in the can.
It's not too bad, but you're right.
I mean, they're both getting to that point where it's just oversaturation and they're just shoving them down your throat because the old guys are getting old and can't do these roles anymore. So they're like, hey, these guys are hot right now. Let's use them again. But no, I mean, I'd kind of... I wish that they wouldn't keep remaking or rebooting everything just because we're out of ideas. Or for instance, take this other one. Disney making live action versions of all their animated films. Do we honestly need those? No.
I do not need to see Belle. I do not need to see Ariel. I do not need to see fucking Cinderella. I'm sorry. I don't care if people liked them. Let me give you some prime examples of what sucked. Maleficent. We all knew the fucking story. We all knew it. Why did we have to see it in a live action version?
And it's one of those things where, you know, when I've asked this question on this podcast many times in the past 6 years that it's been online, you know, and I've specifically asked you, Steve, I mean, would you take your kids to go see, obviously they'd have to be old enough to see certain films, but would you take them to see a live action reboot of something Disney already did, or would you just go back and show them the original Sleeping Beauty movie? I mean,
I own all the animated movies, so I mean, there's not.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
I'm not gonna for one, just because this is how I am as mm-hmm. a parent. I don't. One, I've got this weird filter system that I have in place, and it's according to how my list is set up. Of I have multiple categories, and I have ones that are kid-friendly that could fall into other categories such as comedy, Disney, you know, animation, action, that kind of stuff. But if it doesn't fall into that family kind of category, then it's out. So, I have a Disney category that's specific for that, so, obviously that's safe. and I have an animation one, but there's two different animation ones. I have a kid one that's, you know, some of the DreamWorks films, and then I have ones that are like, you know, the hardcore DC animated stuff. So, I mean, like, to me, there's going to be a very filtered system as far as what my kids are going to watch. I'm not going to, like, go out of my way to go find live-action versions, especially when, one, half the time the musicals that are in them are worse than what I'd hear in the original.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tried watching that Into the Woods.
Because
I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just, you know, I thought it was kind of like the Once Upon a Time TV show, you know, mixing all the storylines. No, it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to gouge my ears out within the first 3 minutes, and I told my wife, I can't watch this.
Well, to be fair, that actually was a Broadway play, and it was done very well if you ever see the original Broadway play.
Which I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, Bernadette Peters does a wonderful job as the witch.
Mm-hmm.
This Glenn Close,
it's Cruella De Vil, people.
I don't think it was, yes, Glenn Close. I think it was
whoever it was.
Yeah, it's another one that looks just like her, but it. Yeah, that's just. You can tell how much I care about that movie, but I mean, no, I mean, it's that kind of thing. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna have my kids, and I don't care to see a remake of something I already have.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't interest me. I'm not gonna spend the money for it. I'm not gonna jump towards it. And if my kids aren't exposed to it by me, chances are they're probably never gonna watch it, because by the time they're old enough to care, it's gonna be off their radar.
Yeah. And I know I've discussed this with Mike over on Talk About My Generation, that here's the thing, is that when I was a kid growing up, my parents took me actually to go to the theaters to watch these movies, these animated films on the big screen. Things like Sleeping Beauty, Pinocchio. We actually saw those in the theater because at the time you didn't have 15 million versions of it on different media. You couldn't watch it at home. But it was a great thing, because even then, going out, you'd see all the parents there, you'd see the kids there. Everybody was excited to watch the movie. The parents were introducing their kids to it for the first time. It was a great thing. Why can't we just do that again? Why can't they just bring the movies back out, put them in the theaters? People will still see them.
I mean, there have been two films that in the past 3 years, maybe, that I... one that I wanted to see, I couldn't get to go see it because I had to do an interview that night. The other one I got to go see when Top Gun hit Blu-ray. They put it back in theaters for like a week, and I went to go see it, and it was amazing. Because obviously it came out in 86 when I was 6 years old, so I didn't see Top Gun until I was probably 17, 18 maybe. I don't remember how long it... I don't know, whatever. But it's one of those things where you're right, they should be putting these things back out in theaters, even if it is a limited 2 week run. They should be in every single theater across the country. They're gonna make even more money off of them. I mean, it's not like they're not gonna make money.
Well, the thing is a lot of the old movies are kind of our generation, as sad as that is to say, or our parents' generation. It's really hard to get kids nowadays like to watch anything that's older, because their attention spans are just so different because of what they're exposed to nowadays. I mean,
well, it's a fuck you Cartoon Network and a fuck you Nickelodeon then. Okay, I'm gonna say that because they're the ones who are cranking up this shit that's, you know, 8 minute long shows, so that our kids can go and get these little prepackaged bullshit things. Sorry.
It's just one of those things where, I don't know, yes, certain Disney films are from a certain generation, but would you rather have, you know, would you rather raise your kids on the good, I mean, there are still a lot of good, fun things in the classic Disney animated films that I think live action is just going to ruin. Like, why, like, you know, like Doug said, You know, we have Maleficent, we have Cinderella, supposedly there's going to be Beauty and the Beast now. I mean, I don't know, it just... Taking something from animation to put it to live action just isn't my cup of tea at all.
Hey, let me ask you this, Mike, because I know it's going to be painful to answer this, but I'm going to ask it. Would you rather see Snow White and the Seven Dwarves animated in the theaters, or would you rather see a live-action version of it?
Well, Snow White and the Huntsman wasn't that bad.
Okay, but that was different.
I wouldn't watch either of them, but because I am not a fan of 1937 Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at all. But for me, it just like the remakes, and sometimes the remakes are like, oh, we're just gonna do this because we need to do it because our studio needs money, and it just, I don't know, it just making a remake just because you can make a remake and not come up with an original. And don't get me wrong, folks, I understand that there are not a lot of original ideas left in Hollywood. I mean, you have, everybody can draw from, you know, say you're watching Police Academy 8. Now, I know there is no such thing. But I'm just saying, let's say you're watching Police Academy 8. And I know at some point they're going to have some sort of reference to something else that's going to, oh, that, you know. All right, well, we brought up the live-action Beauty and the Beast. How about putting the plot of Beauty and the Beast into other media? Like, they did it in an episode of Gem and the Holograms. They did it in an episode of He-Man. They did it in various other things. What I'm saying here is, yes, I know the plots, you know, the general plot description of, oh, hey, good guy has to beat the bad guy, but the good guy has something happen to him that turns him bad, or blah, 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 or whatever. I know there aren't a lot of original ideas left, but it's been over 30 years. Do we really need a Gremlins reboot, people? Like, why can't people show their kids or their cousins or whoever the original Gremlins movie and it'll be fine?
Well, they're working on,
sure,
like,
some of the references are dated, but...
They're working on a new one of that. They're working on a new Short Circuit. They're working on a new Drop Dead Fred. I mean, It's
Drop Dead Fred. Who the hell wants to see a new Drop Dead Fred? Don't get me wrong, I love the original movie.
And that's right there.
My wife loves the original.
I mean, I love the original. I'm not saying I don't love the original. I do love the original. We're going to eventually cover it on MYR at some point, but it's one of those things where what I want to know is, anyone that's in the film industry, comment on this episode or whatever and let me know. What is the point for a studio going after a reboot of something like Drop Dead Fred? I understand the whole point of remaking, you know, Batman or Super, like doing all these different other things like that, but I don't get what the point would be behind a Drop Dead Fred remake.
Okay, well, I can at least shine a little light on some of that. It's, if we go back... I know we really don't want to go back to the superhero reboots, but let's talk Fantastic Four for a minute, okay?
Oh, no.
No. Let me explain what's going on with this, okay? They did, back in the 90s, they had a horrible, horrible version that I want to say was done by Roger Corman. I forget what it was, but you could see the zipper in the back of the thing's suit, okay? Mm-hmm. Anytime you turned around, elastic, you know, Reed Richards, you'd see his arm and they'd show like this camera and it looked like he was holding it and running to make it look like his arm was stretching. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. But they made that film and they put it out, and they put it out only into a select number of theaters so that they could keep the rights to Fantastic Four, so that they could then come back and remake it again with Yon Grofud, or however you say his name, and, you know, Jessica Alba and all them. They're remaking Fantastic Four again and relaunching it again because they need to be able to keep the rights. That's the whole reason that they're redoing it as a reboot, because they thought, well, you know what? We did a shitty version the first time. Let's remake it. Let's make sure we keep the rights, and that's it.
They didn't. I mean, the Fantastic Four films are not the worst Marvel films that, that any of the other studios outside of Marvel themselves have produced.
No, but they aren't great either.
No.
I'm not saying they're the best. I'm just saying for what's there, it's not like a god-awful movie. God-awful movie is when DC tries to, you know, get the core together. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that.
You talking about Smallville?
No, I'm talking about the core, the Galactic Police. The guys with rings that, you know, attend college parties with Mr. McDougal.
That was just a bad writing.
He wasn't cast right. He is going to be Deadpool, and I think that he's going to be perfect for that role. That's it.
I agree with that. Okay, so if reboots and remakes are mainly so certain studios can keep the rights, why not, instead of having to remake it and retell an origin story, it doesn't matter if it's a superhero or whatever else, why not do something like what Eon Productions does? Where, you know, you have the James Bond franchise, and you have, what is it? How many are there, Doug? Five or six? Seven Bonds overall?
Something like that.
Yeah. You, in 50-some-odd years, you've had Sean Connery, Roger Moore,
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton. Well, that doesn't really count, but
I know,
yeah.
I know.
Who was the other one? Pierce Brosnan. And then, you know, you got the Bond franchise, which they change out the actor every few years. But at least those movies, like, you don't need a retelling of James Bond's origins every single time around. Because you know, hey, it's a James Bond movie. It's an ongoing serialized kind of thing. You know, you had his somewhat origins in the very first film in Dr. No. When they did do the quote-unquote reboot and brought in Daniel Craig, they wanted to show more of his... I understand that. That worked.
Yeah.
Even though Quantum of Boredom was just useless. But you take Casino Royale and you take Skyfall, and that's a damn good origin for James Bond, and there you go. Now they can go, especially after Skyfall, now they can go forward into Spectre and just, you know, keep telling an ongoing story. With superheroes, it's crazy because apparently nobody that was born since the original Spider-Man film came out in 2002 would even pay it. That's what's sad about today. We're not even 15 years apart from Spider-Man, the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man film, and they've had to reboot it to make it proper or whatever, to make it more relatable to audiences of today.
Well,
that's what's sad to me.
And here's something that I read that somebody had a theory for the new reboot, and I would love it if they would do this, because it would just be so good. Somebody said that they need to have Spider-Man show up in the Marvel Universe, you know, in Age of Ultron or whatever he's showing up in, and have Tony Stark stand there and go, oh, let me guess, radioactive, you know, you got bit by a bug, you know, your uncle died, blah, 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 and just start discussing it like standing in an elevator. I said, okay, that would work. And then somebody else said, why not have Deadpool walk out with his attitude and just give all this quick, short, 60-second synopsis of what happened to Spider-Man in his asshole-ish attitude and pull it off. And I said, that would be perfect. Watch the movie from there. Just go after that. We would all know it. We all know the fucking origin. We don't need a third retelling of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I don't know. Putting Spider-Man into the Marvel Universe is all well and good, and I think that's going to work. But, you know, and as much as some people didn't like Man of Steel, I understand why. But I honestly thought, especially after 2006's shitty returns, I honestly thought the way they told the origin in Man of Steel was better than obviously what Singer did. And now they're setting it up. My only problem with this whole BS that is BVS is that I understand they want a Batman film. I understand they want a Superman film. And it makes sense, kind of, in the back of my mind to put them together. But I would have, and I've said this before over on Altered Geek, I would have rather have had Man of Steel 2 first, so Clark can deal with the ramifications. And I know supposedly Batman versus Superman is going to deal with that, but it just... I think it's too early on. As much as I love Affleck, he's going to be Batman, I think it's too early after the Nolan films.
Yeah.
They're moving with this way too fast. Even though the movie isn't supposed to come out till next year, it's only been 3 years since Dark Knight Rises.
Well, and here's my other issue with this, and Steve, feel free to jump in on this. My thoughts on the Batman versus Superman movie is, how long is the fucking movie going to be? Are we looking at something that's going to be a 6-hour long movie? Because they're talking about putting Wonder Woman in it. They're talking about having Aquaman show up. Batman, Superman, this whole big battle. How long is this fucking movie going to be when they're going to have to try and explain everything? Or are they? Are they just going to go, everybody knows the origins, moving on?
I think that they're going to skip the origins in this one. I think they're actually going to go for gold and have them jump right in. Because this is supposed to be a seasoned Batman. Almost kind of in a way they're supposed to be tying it into they're almost going to kind of copy and move it into the Nolan verse of the Batman films in a sense, but not really. But he's... this really sucks, but they're trying to kind of jumpstart it without actually having to go through the origin story thing again, because everybody's already gotten Superman's. Batman's been at it for a long time, according to how old he's supposed to be in this. I kind of see why they're doing it in this realm, because this is kind of like the middleman between Man of Steel 2, just because Batman's kind of the one that's like the police to Superman for destroying the entire metropolis and everything else. So I kind of get that. However, I'm not sure how long it's going to be, and I'm pretty sure the other characters other than Wonder Woman are all going to be cameos.
Let's hope so.
It's hard to say what Wonder Woman's going to be, but her name's not even on the credits.
Yeah.
So that tells me that she's not going to be a very prominent part of the film. Affleck's name is number one on the film, so I'm guessing that it's going to start out with him, or if not, it's going to start with Clark and then have him jump in there, and he's pretty much going to dominate the film. Because it's going to be like a Batman light film in a sense that it's not going to be a full-on Batman film, but it's going to be enough that it's... he'll still cover more than Superman's going to at this point, but I'm not quite sure what to think is the only thing.
Yeah,
and I think that the movie, unfortunately, is probably going to be about 2.5, almost 3 hours, because that's the way that every film is going nowadays. And you can thank our lucky friends, the ones that have done the Hobbit movies, Peter Jackson, because that rat bastard is the reason why we have all of these long-ass movies now. Whereas we used to have stuff under 2 hours, now everything is pretty close to pushing 2.5, 3 hours, not more.
I'll blame Disney, because Disney actually kind of started this with Curse of the Black Pearl, with Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one. That was a 3-hour movie. But then again, it was decent. It was long,
It was entertaining, though. I didn't even know that was that long.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with we can blame Peter Jackson for the whole thing about... What we can really blame him about is, part one, part two, and whoever the hell directed the damn Hunger Games
movies. I'm not talking about the Hobbit. Because the Hobbit, they split that. It should have been like 2 movies. That's it. Not 3. And realistically, it could have been 1 if they, the way that he does movies.
Sure.
You know, he always does 3.5 hours, so that would have been perfect right there. But no, the whole part one, part two shit started with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And then it went to Twilight. Yeah. And Hunger Games has it, Divergence got it. I mean, just about everything's doing that now, and it's just it's unneeded. That I definitely see as a cash grab. Everything else I see as kind of a, you know, like you said earlier, Doug, the trying to keep the rights thing. Mm-hmm, but when it's something of an original property like that, like Harry Potter or you know, Divergent or Hunger Games or something like that, that's just a money grab, just so they can throw an extra film out and make you wait longer.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about sequels. Do we need sequels that are from films that are 20 years old?
No.
Oh.
Okay, like, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Bad Boys 3 if it ever happens, because I want to see where those characters are now. But
if it's anything that it's proven, it's that when a series comes back from the dead,
mm-hmm.
save Star Wars. I mean, because they kind of reinvigorated themselves in 99 coming out with The Force Awakens. Or not The Force Awakens, but the Phantom Menace, even though that was a shit film, it brought back to life the Star Wars films. I think it was actually 97, wasn't it?
No, it was 99.
I thought that was right. I went and saw that in theater when it opened.
So did I, and I regret every minute of it.
My dad got tickets to it, so it was one of those things. Luckily, our theater wasn't packed, but anyways, I digress. Like, looking at Die Hard, looking at Dumb and Dumber, looking at, they're going to do a Beverly Hills Cop, maybe. These films, we don't need them. I mean, every time a series comes back, something like Star Wars or Tron, or, because, I mean, Tron, realistically, that was nice seeing that come back, but they did it right. You look at Dumb and Dumber 2, that was just, it was trying to recapture the original movie, but it added so much stupidity to it. The entire film was garbage.
Oh, yeah.
And they looked so freaking old. If they were going to do it, they should have done it like 5 years after, if they were going to wait that long, or even 10. It's been 20 years now, and then they do that movie. That was way too long. And that's the comedy of the 90s. It doesn't even work now. I mean,
let me give another example. That this came out at Comic-Con last year, and I really wish that the panel had gone off, but it kind of fell apart, and I heard that Richard Donner didn't want to show up, and that there was a lot of things that were falling apart at the very tail end. There was a huge following of people who wanted to go see The Goonies 2. People were there, and they were all excited about wanting to see a next generation Goonies. I would have loved that. I think that one movie could possibly be pulled off. You don't have to have, you know, One-Eyed Willie in there, but you have to do something similar to it and have the kids who grew up, you know, have their own kids, and their own kids are going off on an adventure, and they're trying to follow them and find out what's going on. That would be okay. Problem is that they couldn't put it all together at the time. But I mean, just listening to all the people walking around on the floor, ooh, when's the Goonies thing going to be? You know, what time is that? And then finding out that the panel had been canceled because they couldn't get everybody together to do it.
That's just crazy.
You know, I mean, everybody I was hearing, people were waiting to camp out in the room, in the hall where they were going to have this Goonies thing, mm-hmm. simply so that they could possibly see Richard Donner talk about it. Yeah. That was it. I mean, you know, screw that Sean Astin was going to be there, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Sean Astin, but, you know, they were going to have him. They were going to have Corey Feldman. You know, they were going to have all these people there to promote the movie again. And then it just fell through, and I don't know why they pulled it. But that, you could see people going, we want a good sequel. We want a sequel. We want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the whole thing with, you know, what was it, about a month or so ago, we talked about The Kingsman, on talking about my generation. We talked about the new movie, The Kingsman. And, you know, I had read online that they, you know, depend at the time when the movie was released, dependent on how well the movie did, they were going to plan a sequel immediately. There are certain movies out there that I feel fine with not having a sequel. Kingsman is one of them. It had a beginning, middle, and end. It didn't really leave anything hanging as far as the plot goes. It was pretty straightforward. Hell, even Dumb and Dumber. The original Dumb and Dumber movie was fine. You know, how long was it between Ace 1 and Ace 2, Steve?
It was like 2 years.
Okay, well, it was not that bad.
But that was the first and last time Jim Carrey ever did a sequel until Dumb and Dumber 2.
True. True. I think that should have stayed that way.
I think he had he had the right concept. Every time a film does that, it turns to shit. So, looking at, you know, Die Hard 4, I was fine with. I mean, you know, even when they did Die Hard 3, the space in between 2 and 3 was kind of a decent chunk, but it wasn't a bad film. Die Hard 4 wasn't a great film, but it wasn't bad either. Die Hard 5 was just a travesty. It should have never been made, and they're making a Die Hard 6. So, I mean, that's another case where...
How old is Bruce Willis going to be pulling that shit off?
Yeah. He's like, I'm John McClane. I'm old. It's kind of like it's like watching the Force Awakens trailer and seeing Harrison Ford. We're home, Chewie.
Yeah. I mean, he really does look like a scruffy-looking Nerf herder now. In that trailer.
I know Harrison Ford does.
He really does.
Can I just talk real quick about one reboot that I'm kind of looking forward to?
It can happen.
Well, it's one that I think is going to be good, and it's coming out, in about a month or so? The new Mad Max one, Fury Road. Okay. Okay. Here's the thing with this. I am glad.
Wait. Before you go, is that a sequel or a reboot?
Well, I've heard it's a reboot. They're kind of going back to the original story, but they're going to change it a little bit. It's not. It's. They're saying that it's going to be kind of an homage to the original, but it's going to be a lot more. There is more CG. There is. A lot more explosions and hot cars and, you know, it's basically what they did on a low budget. They're pulling out all the stops and going through with big budget stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to see how they're going to change this because the original was very short on storyline. It was basically everybody's got to get the gas. That's it. You know, it was you had an apocalyptic thing go on and. They were running and they were all chasing after the gas and they had all these hot cars and everybody wanted to try and get that control. And that was it. This looks like it's going to be a lot of the same thing. And they've got Charlize Theron in it. So you can't go wrong there.
I'm kind of glad, and I have never seen, I've seen bits and pieces of the Mad Max franchise, but I've never actually seen it. I'm kind of glad Mel didn't come back, because Riggs is old, people. Like, don't get me wrong, Indiana Jones is old, or Harrison, you know, Han Solo is old, but Gibson is pretty old. He got himself into some damn good shape for Expendables 3, but... I'm kind of glad they're going in that new direction. And this is one of those... I mean, on Wikipedia, it calls it the fourth film in the franchise. So I assume it's more of a sequel or whatever. Just another long line in the film franchise here of Mad Max. But I don't mind stuff like this where they have to replace the original actor. As the lead, you know, the title and lead character, that's fine because it's one of those things where we haven't had a Mad Max movie in, 30 years?
I would say probably closer to 20, but 20, 25, something like that. But it's understandable. That's the thing. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't need the fucking RoboCop movie that came out. That was god awful.
I still have not seen that.
It's actually not that bad, but it's not like the greatest thing ever either.
You wouldn't buy it for a dollar, let's put it that way.
I wouldn't buy it for a dollar. I'd download it, but it was entertaining enough. I didn't hate it. They changed enough on it. I mean, it's like watching the Total Recall remake. I mean, yeah, I like each one, but I still prefer the Arnold version.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. No, Doug, it has been 30 years. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome was 85.
Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, just bring back Mel Gibson. He's crazy enough. Mad Max's dad. Mad Max.
Wow.
Make him the bad guy. You know?
Yeah, there you go,
man. He's good at that.
Yes.
Or is he bad at that? Or what's the difference?
He's just crazy. We know that. That's it.
So what's the final verdict here, guys, on reboots and remakes?
I'm going to say that there are some that have been done well. It's you know, it's like a cover song for music, okay? Certain versions are better known by the newer version than the originals. Others, you just go with the original. You know, you mm-hmm. can't remake it. And it's some of it's trial and error. I mean, like I said, we've had how many different versions of I Am Legend? You know, we've had the Omega Man. We've had, you know, all these different versions of it. Charlton Heston played the same damn role as Will Smith.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily think that we need to have quite so many, and we definitely don't need to have another fucking origin story for Spider-Man or for Fantastic Four, but we're getting them anyway.
No.
So, yeah, sorry. It's... Steve, what are your thoughts?
I think there's instances where it works if there is a reboot or a sequel, but again, most of the time, we don't need it. I would love to see Hollywood for once. Like, I mean, and I'm not saying that it's not our fault either, but like geek culture as a whole. Like, for instance, I shied away from Interstellar, for instance,
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that everybody was going, oh, this is great, blah, blah, blah. And I couldn't stomach it at the time. And mm-hmm. I've watched the movie. It's not bad. It's not as great as everybody clamored and said that it is. But that's neither here nor there. But because of our limited view in geek culture, and when I say limited view, I mean we have our set, you know, things that we like. And if something new comes out, we're like, ah, that's evil, blah, blah, blah. Don't look at it. That's part of the reason why the same crap keeps coming out is because they're trying to cater to us in a sense because they know that we'll go see it. So there's the money talking. Whether it's shit or not is irrelevant because they know we'll still pay to see it. Look at the Transformers movies. Billions of dollars wrapped up in that crap, and they all suck. I'm not saying elements of them aren't good, because there are good elements in them, mostly in the first and third movie, but they missed the boat on a lot of it, and I think that's primarily because of us, but again, it's a lot of instances, and I would say just my overall opinion is we need less sequels, less cinematic universes. I mean, yeah, let Marvel and DC do their thing, but nobody else really needs one.
I mean, for me, I think it's where we don't need sequels and reboots every 20 years. We need, you know, you start a franchise, and again, I'll reference the Bond franchise. You start a franchise, you keep going on that path. If you have a main character that has become this universal icon, and you need to change out the actors every few films, sure, fine, whatever, great. But I mean, I think we are in an age now where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is what it is, and it did what it did, and everybody wants to not necessarily copy that, but kind of emulate it at least a little bit in certain ways. With the whole DC thing, I've said this before. I wish they would have done this. Sadly, they didn't do this. Start with, like, if, and I know we can't go back in time and unmake this, but let's say Man of Steel wasn't made and Dark Knight Rises was the final Batman film. Start with Justice League. Because if you started with a damn Justice League movie and had the seven members or eight members or whatever the hell you want to call it, whether, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, Green Arrow, John Stewart, Green Lantern, because to hell with Hal Jordan for all I care, you know, just whatever, you could then branch out. If, you know, people are going to want to see a Justice League movie, you could have then branched out and had these characters go into their own movies from there. So basically the reverse of what Marvel did. Instead of leading up to the Avengers, you start with the meetup and go out from there. But no, they didn't do that, and that's fine, whatever. But I don't know, for me, reboots and remakes, I do not, like, reboots are specifically for me a superhero thing. I do not need a superhero reboot and a retelling of an origin story every 4.5 to 5 years. I just don't need it at all. I would rather have the superhero movies in one set universe that you start off with an origin story for whatever character it is, and then you go from, like, Man of Steel 3, we don't need to know, you know, that his planet exploded. We know that already, you know. So any other final thoughts, guys?
I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one other can of worms which I could open, but that's a whole other podcast, so we'll just leave it alone, you know. We start delving into, you know, 8 movies for Fast and the Furious.
Hey,
I'm just saying,
he's right.
That's all I'm saying. Whether you like him or hate him, you know, did they
how
really
many
need
do
to
we
go
honestly
that long?
Need?
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, because it seemed to get better. I haven't seen all of them, so I can't really badmouth them too much, but number 2 was pretty bad. So, going off on that. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Okay, so, yeah, the Fast and the Furious thing is a discussion for another day, for another podcast, all that stuff.
Yeah.
We'd be here for too long a time, and you guys both have to go to work in the morning, so.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, end call.
Hey now, jerk. All right, folks, that's gonna do it for us here on Geekcast Radio, episode 83. Let us know in the comments on this post of what you think of whether certain sequels or reboots or remakes are needed or unneeded, or what you think of, you know, them remaking something or rebooting something just to keep the film rights and whatever else. So let us know. Comment on the episode post. Doug, where can they find you online, sir?
They can find me over at mygenerationpodcast.com for talking about my generation. Please check us out. Go listen to us. We will be covering some pretty good stuff coming up here. We've got, obviously, May the 4th coming up. and we will be covering here probably this weekend after I get all of my shit done for watching Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about the old and the new.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? Where can they find you online?
They can find me, of course, on geekcastradio.com and on Twitter at SCP21.
And I am at TFG1Mike. All right, folks, unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi. Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Letamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on The Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
You've just listened to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.